I'll start with my parents, who were actually born in India, Amritsar. My father came here in the late 50s. Prior to that, he was over in the States, did a PhD in philosophy in Washington. His brother was an artist, advised him to come here and teach art. So that's what he did. So he came here, like I said, late 50s, taught art for a few years, then got heavily involved with politics, poetry, and trying to help the community and just trying to help the immigrants of the time to settle in and try to understand the cultural values of what was going on in Britain at the time. My mother followed pursuit. She came here in 1960. Again, she was from Amritsar. I was born in 1962. Sorrento Hospital. Though I used to tell everybody that I was born in Sorrento, Italy, which sounded a lot more glamorous. But unfortunately, it was Moseley. I went to Belgrave School, which is in Borsall Heath. And from there, I moved on to Highgate. From there, to Bournville Art School. They basically thought they couldn't teach me anything because my father had basically taught me the principles of art by the time I was 10, 11. Over the period of time, I'd sort of really got heavily into art, started doing exhibitions, won several exhibitions, UK and abroad, being the youngest artist to get merits from here and over in Europe. By the age of 10, I'd fallen into a coma one morning. Saturday morning, woke up watching Tiz Was. Fell into a coma, woke up 5.5 months later. Pretty well a different person than when I went to sleep. The first memory of my father was watching him paint. He had a canvas which measured approximately 4 feet by 6 feet. And I was probably about 3 years old, 2 to 3 years old maybe at the time. And I was just amazed that he could, you know, conjure up a figure out of coloured liquid and make it look so realistic. And I think, you know, remembering him paint was one thing, but obviously, you know, the point that you're bringing up is that he was my father. But I think that was probably one of the first memories of realising that he was, A, my father, and he could paint and, you know, do amazing things like that. He was quite wealthy in India. His family was very wealthy. They were all doctors and surgeons. But when he decided to leave and go to the States and move into the arena of art, which his brother was also, you know, he's a well-known artist sort of from the 40s and 50s. You know, he was credited with designing stamps and all that for India. But I think what happened when the partition in 47 happened, I think that was a disturbing blow to him. And I think that was, in hindsight, he wished that it hadn't happened. He wished that India had stayed the way it was and it would be more progressive for the people, because they didn't understand the division of why one minute you had Hindu Sikhs living side by side and then all of a sudden somebody said, well, you know, you're moving to that country and you're moving to that country, and all of a sudden they were at war killing each other. So I think that was a disturbing blow. And I think that kind of became a kind of a thread all through his life. I think that made him, a bit more aggressive in trying to bring people together. I think that was probably his greatest drive, to be honest with you. And, you know, from a Freudian point of view, I think that definitely was his undercurrent, trying to bring people together. Came straight to Birmingham and to Borsall Heath. He went on to design the Central Mosque, which the inception was probably about when I was born. He'd actually done the first drawings for it, and behind the mosque he wanted a institution of learning, sort of a very, very secular philosophical school where you get people from all walks of life, be they atheists, Muslims, Hindus, Sikhs and all that. But I think he had a lot of friction with a lot of the Muslims at the time and within the Islamic institution, saying, well, why should we be, you know, funding a mosque and an institution where Hindus and Christians and atheists of all people should be coming to debate? And that didn't bode well. I always remember, I was probably about 14, 15 at the time, and I'd asked him, you know, I was saying to Dad, you know, people would come, you know, if it was, you know, middle of the night, 2 o'clock of the night, somebody said, Mr. Krish, could you help us? Sure, you know, get his coat on, and he would be off. I understand that was partly cultural, but I think he had something hardwired in him somewhere along the line, which was quite bizarre and quite strange. And I did ask him. I said, "Father, you know, why do you do this? What do you gain from it? You know, they're not paying you. You're doing it for free. Why? You know, you've got a drive all the time. You know, you'd be feeding, cooking, and working for free for people and institutions and all the rest of it." And he brought up. I mean, he was brilliant at bringing up analogies and examples. He was amazing. You know, they're at the tip of his tongue all the time. And I remember he said to me that I had a friend in my formative years, probably about 4 or 5 years old, and like us all, we probably picked up a sparrow or something. And there was a sparrow that was dying; he'd broken its wing in my back garden. And myself and my friend at the time, Thomas Kelly, we'd got this little bird, put him into a box, and all sort of. Felt around him, trying to cushion him and trying to make him better. And after several days, we were feeding him water and was really excited. I mean, we were a little, it sounds naive, but we were children at the time. You know, we were 4 or 5 years old and we were really excited. We'd wake up every morning and be feeding this bird water and trying to give him milk and bread, etc., etc. Anyway, lo and behold, about a week later, one of my friend's fathers, Mr. Ryer, he turned up and he said, You're always hugging that box. What is with you and that box? And we said, oh, we've got this little bird. So anyway, we'd open the lid, and lo and behold, he started scratching. Also, the bird flew off. Right, to which Thomas and myself were really overjoyed. We were really rejoiced because we fixed the bird. It was one of those moments. So anyway, the example that my father gave me said, do you remember the time when you and Thomas, right, the joy that you felt when the little bird flew off that you had? What was that about? Did you get paid for it? And basically he stopped me in my tracks. And from there, I totally understood where he was coming from, because he was, quite hard with his conviction of delivery. And I thought, well, actually, fair enough, And that kind of gave me an insight to who and what he was really about, And that didn't waver at all with him, And I think that... as a human being, I couldn't have asked for anything else, as somebody being my father with those kind of values and principles.